Okay, welcome to the No Stage. We're gonna have a talk with Hernani Marcus. He's an activist of the CCC Switzerland. Give him a welcome applause. And after all the Snowden revelation, he's gonna bring us closer to the mass surveillance in terms of human language technology, so of natural language processing. So have fun with this talk.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Yeah. Okay. So my name is Hernani Marcus. I'm activist of the CCC, and I also fight at laws there introducing selector searches, like also there were legalized in Germany now to a further extent. And yeah, I'm talking about abusing computational linguistics, also known as natural language processing, NLP, for mass surveillance purposes. So I am against. So that's already clear, I think, in the title. So for the outline, first we'll have a look at the term of mass surveillance, how I understand it. Then probably, I mean, how many of you know what computational linguistics is? Okay, not so many indeed. So there is a justification to show a little bit which kind of fields there are. Then we will have a look at mindsets and methods used for selector search. So it's not just about searching for bomb and stuff like this. There are a little bit more sophisticated approaches, but nevertheless, it doesn't work, as we will see. Then I also run an own experiment while writing my master thesis. It's not representative, but it's more to show how this stuff looks like. And then there's also a reality check, looking at the results of mass surveillance a little bit, and then we are open for discussion. So mass surveillance you have always this metaphor of the haystack, and we need to find the needle, if there is one indeed. I mean, that's not even clear, but they search for it. It's not necessary that you save all the data. So the Utah data center, where everything is saved, this is not the true nature of mass surveillance. Mass surveillance is already given when you just go through all of it, even if you don't save it. So it is, if you compare it with away from keyboard or physical situations, it's a little bit like at the airports, where everyone must pass control and is somehow suspected to be a terrorist, a criminal agent, or something like this. Or you can also compare it with snail mail, if all our snail mail stuff would be opened and copied stuff like this. Usually this is not done, at least not in Switzerland, because it's cost prohibitive, not because it wouldn't be cool for them, I think. So this also shows a little bit the mindset already, that everything is just done which is possible, and in the internet it's easier to just search for everything than in the physical world. But there are already situations where this is also done in the physical world, like video surveillance in public spaces, like airport situations, and also in the trains they are starting to introduce more control. So the direction is this, which we are heading to. And by the way, even if no hits occur, I mean, if they search all your data and there are no hits, they still search your data. So that's still mass surveillance. So you don't need the condition, oh, they found something in my data, to have experienced mass surveillance. I mean, if they just search you physically or electronically, this is mass surveillance, and you don't need to save the data in the end. So even if you just store the results, it's still mass surveillance occurring here. So what kind of selectors? So these search terms or patterns are called selectors in this secret service service areas. Basically, you can distinguish between two selectors: hard selectors. This is like metadata selectors, like phone numbers, email addresses, chat nicknames, IP addresses, Good examples are the cell phone of Angela Merkel, CEO phone numbers, and phone numbers of journalists, email addresses, or also such of diplomats. On WikiLeaks, there were several disclosures where it was shown that in the diplomatic and economic sector, lots of people were tapped. So there they know, and it's not that they just target the phone, they probably search for all occurrences of email addresses in all kinds of data to see what's going on with this kind of person, which is identified by the selector. So, if you have less clue from what you are for what you are searching for, like in the like usually in the case of terrorists, organized crime, and things like this, you can also make content searches. So you just assume they must be using some specific words, some phrases, some kind of language. This can also be done with voice, of course. If you transcribe the text with speech-to-text technologies, you can search the text, so you can transform everything into text. In this talk, it's about natural language processing, but you can do the same with graphics and videos, so you can search for patterns. You can, of course, also combine both selectors, like hard selectors and soft selectors. I think in most of the cases where it's really about terrorism, they don't really, I mean, in the last times they knew already, that's curiously enough, who the terrorists are or who the potential terrorists are, but in other cases they don't have any clue, and then they don't have hard selectors to search for, so they just try to search for everything which could somehow match their language. So that's a well-known slide, I think. So it's not that China, Russia, and other countries are not aren't doing the same, but as you can see, the Western, the NSA surveillance complex, is quite well distributed. So they tap everywhere things. That has probably also to do with the military stations they have everywhere. I mean, basically the US, but also the EU partners. And this is something which China and Russia probably cannot do to this extent. I mean, on a worldwide scale, like you can see here. But also in the teeny shiny country of Switzerland, you have such kind of stuff. That's for satellite-based communications. That's in Loik. That's a nice place in the mountains. And there they also search for all kinds of stuff. They once captured a fax, so telefax, a message which proved that there are illegal CIA prisons in Eastern Europe. This was probably one of the better things they did. On the other hand, we don't know what they are doing all the day. So they are just searching everything in the satellite-based communication sector. So probably. I need to introduce a little bit to the field of computational linguistics and human language technology. So, from Wikipedia, computational linguistics is an interdisciplinary field concerned with the statistical or rule-based modeling of natural language from a computational perspective. Main interests when you talk of computational linguistics is theory and methods. So, it's about using computers to analyze natural language like German, French, Esperanto, Klingon language, whatever. So everything is possible here. And there is also a term of human language technology, which is also used in the Snowden revelations, also in some of the slides. This is more when it's about the concrete application, so when it's about tools. So application of computational linguistics, then you can also say human language technology, but it's not so important, these terms. So what are typical fields of computational linguistics? And HLT, these are, I mean, basic things are like tokenization. So you have a text, where are the boundaries of the words, finding their punctuations. So you just want to have the words. Usually, if you have just a text, you don't the words are not marked directly if the text is a raw text, but you can, of course, look for spaces and things like this and try to split this into tokens which supposedly are words, with some exceptions sometimes. There's sort of parts of speech tagging that's about marking the words you found in the according to their type. So if there are nouns, verbs, or pronouns, stuff like this. If you achieved the two steps before, then probably named entity recognition might be a thing you need to do. So to recognize words which denote something very specific in our world, like WikiLeaks, for example, that's a named entity. If you say Edward Snowden, there might be different ones, but statistically, usually you mean the whistleblower. So that's here you see there is already a problem probably in finding the right things, but yeah, that's the idea here. Then you can also parse a text, find syntactic structures. Usually in our languages we speak here, you have a noun, verb, object kind of structure. You can try to to find these elements and see how they fit together and who is the actor and who is being acted on, stuff like this. Coreference recognition, that's when you have pronouns which refer to whole phrases or words like where or something like this. So this is just a word and you need to find out to which noun or to which phrase this is referring to. And this is quite a hard problem. It doesn't always work quite well when you try to do that on larger texts, where also references are being done with a small pronoun, but referencing to the very beginning of the text and stuff like this. So it's not an easy problem because you sometimes need to jump different sentences. You need to recognize this in the structure of the text. Then collocations are usually words which tend to occur together in a text. This can also be named entities like names. But also just words which tend to be somehow related to each other, like for example, computer and hard drive or something like this, when it's about something with hardware. So there are more complex fields which need all of this here in general. So sentiment analysis would be to find indicators of emotions in text. I mean, with if you say I'm crying or something, then you can probably see out of this text that the person is not feeling well or something like this. Or if you say I hate this product on Twitter or something, then you can also do analysis there and see, okay, this is a negative, this person feels negative to this kind of thing. So this is sentiment analysis. Probably what you best know, not always for the better, is machine translation. So that's like translating from one language to the other. In the 80s and a little bit afterwards, there were attempts to do everything rule-based, so to analyze how English works, how German works, and then to try to match these structures to each other. It was very hard and didn't work very well. In these days, it's more being done statistically. So you just have, let's say, texts of the European Parliament, once in German, then in English, and then you can just statistically see which words might fit together, which phrases might mean the same. And like this, you can find patterns to translate other texts. So there are also hybrid solutions where you combine insights from linguistics with statistics. I think Google Translate is also going a little bit more into these directions. There's also text mining and relationship mining. That's to find, for example, persons and where they are. So to find such kind of relationships. So you have different entities in a text and want to find out who is involved and which places are involved, and then to connect these kind of things. automatic text summarization. You can imagine this like when you write an abstract for a text. So if you have a long text and you don't want to read it, but to grasp directly what it is about, you can probably read the abstract, because there usually also the results are somehow outlined. In most cases, you don't have an abstract or something like this, so you have a long text and you want to know what's going on there. So you can employ automatic text summarization. Usually, you find out that the sentences in the beginning, the ones in the middle, and the others at the end are somehow sentences which you can connect together to have a summary. So you still need to glue a little bit at the ends of the sentence such that things fit together, such that you can read fluently the things. But yeah, that's a field you can also invest lots of time in. Authorship recognition, who wrote the text. So, yeah, this was this is something which might also pose a threat to democracy if you have activists who need anonymity, but they have a really specific writing style, are the only ones who use specific words. So probably this can lead to the author methods like this. And topic analysis is a field where you have lots of documents and you want to find out which are the topics in this documents. Is it about computers? Is it about politics? Or is it about both to some extent? So it's a probabilistic approach. But in the end, you just receive a list of words. You can choose how many words you want, and they denote somehow what the topic could be. So in the case of computers, this could be, again, computer, hard drive, monitor, stuff like this. So, but sometimes texts are about different things, so also here it's not always, let's say, deterministic. So now let's see a little bit how such methods are employed. So that's an example from XKeyscore. That's the let's say the NSA search engine, not just for public data, but for any data, so also your communication. And here they simply ask the question, what do I do if I don't have a strong selector? That means metadata for a terrorist or something. And then they just start some selector or needle creationism, like probably if someone is in a place where he talks another language than the one which is usual there, this might be already a feature of suspicion. Or if someone is using encryption, or if someone, and that's very vague, if someone is searching for suspicious stuff, whatever that means. So you see how that this is not rocket science what is going on here. So it's really like the analyst just defines something and then it goes on. We have also very concrete examples of such words. So here I have to explain a little bit. We have the topics which interest here are weapons of mass destruction, advanced conventional weapons, and government organizations. So they try to find out somehow proliferation. And what do they do as items? That's just an example. You can also add other items. You have machine gun, grenade, AK-47. And then you have of course, people who want to buy this kind of stuff, political actors like Minister of Defense or Defense Minister. Then you have countries which want to buy this. That can be, in this case, Somalia, Liberia, or Sudan. And the brokers who are selling this kind of stuff, South Africa, Serbia, or Bulgaria. So we also see a little bit what NSA is looking at here. And then probably also the ports, where do these items go through? And then you can, of course, just do a Boolean search on that. So with AND and OR, you can just combine all this stuff together and search in email bodies. So all emails. So this is, of course, mass surveillance. So because it's not specific, it's targeting whole groups and populations. It's not just they know these three guys are doing something and then go there and do something. So they are just searching everything. And you can, of course, imagine that these words are also used in other contexts which have nothing to do with proliferation, terrorism, or something like this. So false positive rates naturally are quite high. So here you see that it's not just about email bodies, it can also be about chat bodies. I mean, the example is really like classical here, like how to build a bomb or a weapon. So you see the Boolean search here, AND and OR kind of stuff. Then you can also search, of course, for document bodies, for calendar bodies, for archives, of course, the NSA or whatever, or whoever can unzip things on the fly and look at this material. You can also transfer everything into text. If there is some binary components, you can probably decode it. So that's all possible. And you can also do the same for the web area, like with HTTP requests. So it's not limited to messaging or something. It's just everything, basically. That's just as an overview that the NSA handed in some patents. So you see they are really active in this kind of field. So most of these things here are concerned with finding with searches. So somehow methods for finding large numbers of keywords in continuous text streams. So that's a sign they try to generate selectors out of text streams, which they probably denoted as suspicious. So to have kind of their training material to search for the real world stuff then. And also this text summarization thing is something which interests the NSA. This can of course have to do with the fact that they want to have the news which are out there in a compact way. They don't have the time to read all the news. In the case of the Islamic State, they probably should, because I think some attacks were more or less announced there. I mean, they should have read it completely. Not with computers like this. And then, of course, optical character recognition. So if you have a scanned element, like with Telefax, or if you send a PDF around where you cannot where you cannot search directly for the text, you can apply optical character recognition to get out the real text. This can also be done with images and videos and everything, basically. So, and lots of other things. So it's of no use here to go into the details, but if you are interested, I have also more details on this kind of things. So it's not just the NSA and other partners in this area, it's also the European Union. So there was a project called INDECT, that's the Intelligent Information System Supporting Observation, Searching and Detection for Security of Citizens in Urban Environment. What the fuck? This project ran from 2009 to 2013, so until more or less Snowden revelations. So it's not that the EU wasn't doing such things before or planning to do such things before. You will see what kind of things they were researching. And the project had a volume of 15 million euros. And this was part of the framework program. There are always these big research programs from the EU Commission. The current one is Horizon 2020. This one is the one before. And in this area, they put in 1.3 billion euros to research on such things. There was also a very strange research project. I don't know the name now, but it was 4.5 million euros. And it was just about baggage detection at airports. So you see how much money they put into this kind of stuff. So to find out if someone is going away from his baggage, and then everything turns red, and someone has to intervene there and stuff like this. So there are 131 INDECT publications, 80 of them are open access, some others are closed access in the sense that you have to buy them, and some are even restricted because they go too far into the details, they say. So there are also some details about the concrete operations they would like to have. I have to say that this is a research project, but they created some tools, and they also have a systemic approach to put them all together in a big platform to surveil all of the European Union for our security, of course. And 15 of these open access publications are about computational linguistics and human language technology. So the fields we already had a little bit before. So and now you can a little bit see what kind of features they have. I mean, here they cooperated with, it's probably not so readable. Here they cooperated with the police to find out what kinds of crimes occur. And then they would like to have as features something like the type of the offense, then the presence or absence of some behavior, gender of the offender, the age of the offender, and the ethnic appearance. So that means if it happens that you are in the wrong age or if you have the wrong skin color, because people with that ages and that skin color did something in a very specific area, some criminal activity, you might also be, statistically, you might be more suspicious than others. This can have consequence in real life, in fact. Here you also see that they have, here they just constructed for a language application then, an HLT application, they constructed a binary model, so the gender is just male or female, age is above median or below median, so 0, 1, 0, 1, it's nothing else here. Then there are white Europeans and there are Afro-Caribbeans, nothing else. And there is just, you are occupied in the sense of occupation or you are not occupied. So these are their great features they have. And if they find lots of crimes happening with such features, with such of these features, and you also have them, but you are not a criminal, you might still be suspected for something. Here you also have pattern matching. So what they did here is they have a list of suspicious websites, which they say they are really bad websites, which with contents we don't want, and normal websites. And on a suspicious website, you might have patterns like hand package boss. I mean, these are just placeholders. You can also replace boss with some other term or package. I mean, it's just like it's more like a placeholder for different words you can fill in. Then you might also have Everest Mountain and Tall Mountain World as a pattern. And on the normal side, which is clean kind of, you have Everest Mountain, Tall Mountain World, and temperature called weather, temperature called winter. And then you can of course subtract from both sides the patterns which are available, and then you know hand package boss is the only one which is suspicious, and with that we go now out and search everything. So this is a little bit the idea here. So they control kind of their patterns with normal websites, suspicious versus normal websites. You can also do relationship mining, and they do it here in a paper with some examples. So there are two different kind of events which are about illegal transportation of something and an illegal financial transaction. And then here you see this is the coreference resolution thing. So you don't have concrete names, you have like so you need to know whom they are talking about. So probably there is a name behind it, but in the text I can find out who is the person and that they are doing something indicated by certain words which are here in the sentences. So here people are doing something in Bangladesh, some illegal activities. And the interesting thing is, of course, that there are no concrete names, but they still may know who the named entities are behind this. So the best one, I think, is this here, the terrorist chat. So you have, so here they identify a name, that's a named entity, so this denotes a specific person, an individual. And there are also countries involved here. These, I mean, GPE means geopolitical entity and NOT means nation. So this is, a geopolitical entity of the kind nation. There are also other kinds of geopolitical entities. And so you see how they can find the named entities and relate these stuff to each other, or at least they try to do it so. From WikiLeaks, there was also an interesting document which was leaked. I mean, this is marketing material, but there are still some technical things in there. This is a French company which doesn't exist anymore, Scan and Target. But you see their business is extracting intelligence from SMS, instant messaging, emails. So you also see it's not just about governments. You of course also have private actors. Snowden himself was not working for the NSA, but for Booz Allen Hamilton. So there is a private-public partnership here anyways. And this is a little bit a silly example, but they just want to say that they, of course, take care of small and capital letters. And if you try to write, in this case, Viagra somehow a little bit differently, then they can still recognize it. Or if you write bomb with a zero or whatever. So they just want to tell you they take care of some edit distance for words. Yes, and they do that for English, French, Spanish, and different Arabic dialects and transliterations. So here you see they also provide APIs for homeland security, so that's a good example of private-public partnership then here. And they also claim that with some IBM machine you can analyze 1,200 tweets per second and stuff like this. So, yeah, possibilities are there. And they also say, now it's possible. So we can do that. We can do mass interception from a technical point of view. So let's just do it. And yeah, here you see that they take care of different transliteration types of Arab. So if you want to put the Arabic letters into Latin alphabet, there are different kinds of ways to do that, and they take care of that. Also here for pedophilia, they claim to have found here some features which could show that someone is sharing material, like there's a file name, Heidi.rm, or 4 year old, might be a child, and then the term PTHC, preteen hardcore. So I'm pretty sure you also find other things with PTHC if you search around. But yeah, the idea here is that they have different features, different terms, and then can find potential pedophilia. The internet. Yes. Also for drug traffic detection. I mean, the numbers are already quite astonishing here, with 20 to 30 million of SMS per day that you can analyze if you install the system by yourself. And interesting things are also, I mean, this kind of stuff here. That you can sometimes you probably know the examples of saying snow instead of cocaine or something like this. So, and of course, if two, let's say, real criminal guys are just are always talking about snow and stuff like this, this might be, of course, another term for the real thing. Yes, and they claim they have high precision. I don't think that this is really high precision. I mean, 14 true positives, if the terms are right. You have to take that into account. Per 1 million SMS is not quite. It's not a great result. So this is, catastrophical in some way. The customers are also interesting here. So you see, not just NSA, Chinese and Russian guys, but also just companies. Whatever they are doing with this kind of system, but probably analyzing their clients, customers. So in Switzerland, because I'm from there, we also have the NDB, that's the Nachrichtendienst des Bundes, Swiss Secret Service. So they have, of course, the usual things like a comint. Comint is if you want to distinguish it from SIGINT, is when you analyze discursive communications, that means stuff which involves natural language. Because sometimes you also just have signals. If computers are communicating with each other, this is not usually they don't talk in English with each other, but with some protocols, so they have their own language. So this is probably not so interesting in this area, so there is SIGINT and COMINT you can distinguish like this. Open source intelligence is just everything you can grab in the public space, also in the physical spaces. Human intelligence would be when you involve persons to do some surveillance. And then there are also military relations and partners. That would be like the German BND and the cantons, because Switzerland have different states. And also, of course, image intelligence, like when you look with drones or something, can also do. And in any of these kind of sources here, you might have linguistic information which you can put into your database and search. So that's a little bit the link here. The thing I showed in the beginning, this satellite-based surveillance system, mass surveillance system, is called Onyx. It was built in 1999 illegally, so without legal basis, for 45 million. There are claims that costs now went up to 300 or 400 million or more. And it was not before 2005 they created legal basis for this system after there were some media scandals. So also Switzerland, despite being a democracy, is not behaving properly. As of 2012, they also, oh no, that was wrong. It was 2012 they created the legal basis. It got operational in 2005, and from there it worked for 7 years illegally. And the interesting thing about this legal basis is that, I mean, from a Swiss perspective, that's just like completely exaggerated. They retain content data for 1.5 years and metadata for 5 years. So to make retrospective searches. And now there was even a popular vote about this. We launched a referendum to stop them to also do cable-based selector search, because I mean, you know, most of communications is not flowing through these satellite-based things, but through fiber optic cables and other kind of cables. And so they want to tap the cables in Switzerland to also see what's going on there. And They did exactly the same thing, like 1.5 years for contents and 5 years for metadata, and then they can search. And this will get effective in about a month now. We tried to stop it, but Swiss population didn't understand the law, I would say, and just voted with 64% yes to the law. So I think the debate was also a little bit difficult. We didn't have enough money, so it was difficult to win this kind of things, because usually you need to make lots of propaganda and really break down things to easy understandable sentences, and we just failed somehow with that. And because it's also digital, it's about electronical things, people cannot really feel it. If we would vote about searching all the snail mail, probably they would vote no. Because this feels like invasion, so it's physical. So that's my view of it. Because usually, if you approach someone and want to look at his cell phone or open his snail mail, they get a little bit nervous and don't want to share the data. But on the internet, everything seems fine. So they should just search for it. I have nothing to hide. So these are the typical sentences you know already. Another special thing is that in Switzerland, it's not the civilian secret service doing the selector search, but the military himself directly. There's a unit for that, Zentrum für elektronische Operationen in German, and they just pass the results then over to the NDB. However, even though the search categories must be accepted by three instances, a court, an administrative entity, and also political control, so the elected executives of the federation. There is a passus in the order of the law that they can also add like author selectors if the results are not nice enough, and that's quite an issue because from a linguistic perspective you can show that if you just add some very specific words you can create kind of an author category. So even though the oversight of this kind of practices thinks everything is right, there is still kind of a backdoor to just add more words and do things. And in the end, they cannot really control what's going on. And we saw that also in Germany with the NSA Untersuchungsausschuss. It's just it's a big mismatch of what politicians think and what's really being done. Probably in some cases they knew things, but I'm quite sure in lots of the very specific cases they had no clue what they are, which terms are being entered into the system to search for. There's also another nice thing which is completely nonsense. The NDB is not allowed to create categories and propose search terms which include Swiss named entities like Swiss companies, let's say Novartis, or Swiss politicians, or even Swiss extremists. So that shall not be possible with this law. But you can also find just author search terms which yield exactly the same results. So that's one way to circumvent it with information retrieval and computational linguistics. And the other one is just by cooperating with author secret services and just tell them, please give me this data we cannot have and you give me the other one, stuff like this. So that's how things work. So it's just a strange thing here. So I then also did own experiments. So there are two groups in Switzerland which are by the NDB, which are said to be the main extremist organizations, like left-wing Revolutionärer Aufbau and right-wing Partei Nationalorientierter Schweizer. And what I did is I just took their websites as training material with the idea, well, probably with these two websites, we can extract typical words, phrases, terms, which are used in these scenes. And with these selectors, then you can search for other kind of groups which are similar to them. So in the end, I am auto-generating keywords because that's always a little bit the mystical question. What are they doing? How do they come to these words? And I'm quite sure they are not just having a paper and writing down something. They are concretely analyzing material around and then generating selectors out of it. Probably they add some things manually, but that they just do everything manually is not realistic, I think. So in the end, I had 70 selectors for left-wing and 70 for right-wing, and more concretely, 30 selectors were based on term frequency and inverse document frequency measures. It's just standard kind of computer science and computational linguistics stuff to rank documents. If you make a basic search engine, usually it starts with TF-EDF. There are also other a little bit more complex approaches, but it's just a method to find out the most, the best terms to which represent kind of the documents. Then I also created 6 selectors with intensification vocabulary. So there was a paper there which showed some terms which are typical for either scandalization or conspiracy kind of things. I mean, this can be in the most easy ways. This can be things like if you say so-called democracy, you show you don't believe in democracy. So probably you are pretending that that there is someone controlling everything, stuff like this. Or if you rant around with intensifiers, like with specific adjectives, you can also use such. You can also have lists of such scandalization vocabulary, and with that create selectors. Then there are also topic words. That's the thing I said before with topic analysis, that you can, when you have a bigger amount of documents, you can try to find out what the topic is in there, and this is then shown by specific words. So the selectors, 10 of them were single words, so very specific words which appeared there. 10 of them were word 2 grams, that means words, two words in a specific order or just a phrase. And the 120 of them were combinations, so order doesn't matter, of words from 2 to 10 words, which show somehow, show to be somehow typical for these groups. And so, typical example with TF-IDAF model, anti-racist action on the left-wing side, or that's now specific to Switzerland, August 1st, that's a national, the national holiday, and there the right-wing groups tend to group themselves and tell everyone how great Switzerland is and that we have to defend them against everyone. So that's a very important kind of thing for them. So this even appeared as a combination. And in this area of the scandalization conspiracy indicators, left-wing side, I mean, the indicator was pretext, and then connotations which were which were found were action and militant. And on the right-wing side, you had like adversaries lie campaign, so they were talking a lot like the adversaries are lying in their political campaign. So you see a little bit that it seems to make sense. And in the topical areas, the topic analysis on the left-wing side, we had, I mean, that's probably even a good summary of what they are talking all day about, life, politics, capital. And on the right-wing side, you had like refugees and their own name was quite important there, so because they were pretending they are the only ones doing something against it. So these are examples of selectors, and I had 140 of them in the end. And then because I am not the NSA or the Swiss NDB or something, I just used public sites to search a little bit around and look if there are matches. Of course, excluding the training material itself, otherwise it would be nonsense. So the evaluation corpora was start page search engine, DuckDuckGo, and then there's also a not evil called search engine for Tor hidden services at that time. With 15.8 million documents, that means HTML sites, PDFs, books, everything. And then there's also this decentralized search engine, which has no social bias in there. So it doesn't matter who is searching for something. You don't need to log in. You just download the software and you are part of the search system. So there you have 2 billion documents. And then I also did some own surveillance. I mean, of my own kind of material at home, with where in the end I had 208,000 documents. This was just like everything, even PGP lookups, everything. So Web of Trust. So everything was a little bit inside, and so I could then search with the selectors I created based on the left and right wing extremism things. So 140 selectors times 5 corpora makes 700 selections or searches. And then I just cut off after 5 results, I cut it, because sometimes you have 1,000 results, other times you have just 3 or even 0. If you have very specific terms, you know that from your searches, if you enter something very long and specific, probably result is 0. And so in total, there were 3,500 potential hits to manually evaluate. Of course, to be done by 2 persons, to have control, that you are not too biased or something. About 2,200 were successful, so were shown as true positives, so matching just matching. This can be true positives and false positives at this point. Coming to true positives, it was then, depending on the corpus and the terms, it was 0 to 25%. And if you leverage for 2 less results, so if you have less than 5 results, there was another scoring function to leverage a little bit for that. So it was up to 22%. And the internal data agreement, so the two other two persons doing that agreed in the left wing field, they were quite agreeing that they marked the same things like true positive, false positive. On the right wing side, it was not so easy. I think this has to do with the fact that there were lots of conspiracy sites where you don't really know if they are right wing or just completely out of order somehow. So yet sometimes it's not so easy to say, oh, these are right people. They can also be left wing people or just other people. So here at here it was not so clear. So and 1.0 would of course have been perfect match. So and this also shows if you have different analysts, they might not have the same perception. So that's already another point of things are getting a little bit not so rocket science style. Yeah, and what's the reality? That's from Netzpolitik. From 25,000 hits they had in 2014 with the selector search being done in Germany, just 0.26% were in the end marked as true positive or relevant. From a Secret Service point of view, this doesn't mean you can avoid an attack or something. It's just interesting. And that's an absolutely catastrophic result. And there's, of course, to do with the fact, and that's now from Bruce Schneier here, that by making the haystack bigger, the needles don't get just like that more. It doesn't make any sense. Probably there is not even one. So just by poor mathematics, it's clear that you the false positive rates will just explode the more data you put into your system. And so this kind of stuff is completely bullshit. Doesn't work in the end. And also in the talk of Beanie yesterday had the same conclusions. Yeah. So that's a little bit an overview. Probably we have time for questions, 10 minutes. If you want to know something more specific than it was in the slides, just go on.
Nice thing from the timing, we could ask some questions, yeah? Thanks a lot. Great talk. So please go ahead at the first mic. Yes.
I have a question. Do you have the same suspicion as I have that mass surveillance is input for mass manipulation?
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
next step.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it has to be noted that, for example, the NSA has a national interest priority framework. There are 32 surveillance fields. One of them is counterterrorism. Others are, things like economic innovation or let's say economic espionage. Another one is called the leadership intentions or let's say how it is, diplomatic espionage. And then there are also things like environmental movements. So this would be the political kind of activist surveillance. So yeah, it's absolutely clear. And by the way, in these fields, it works, of course, better because there you know exactly who the people are you are searching for. And depending on the features you need to classify people, I mean, if you want to know who likes a certain band, you just have to look up Facebook, Twitter, and just put them all together and say they all like this band. So that's feasible and you will have high precision rates, of course, if they are not lying. But in the in case of terrorists, they don't show themselves like this. And the features you have there are really, they're difficult to model. There's not enough data, there are not enough terrorists to do that kind of stuff, and there is no correlation between the haystack is getting bigger and the needles are getting more in there. So false positive rates, poorly mathematically, just explode.
No, but what I mean is they are going to move the needles. If they profile people, mm-hmm. they can send them messages which confirm their views because they know their views. And then very slowly they can move them in a certain direction.
Yeah, that's also possible. Yeah,
so they influence their position, and then they can influence elections. So
yes, of course, yeah. There are also documents from GCHQ where they manipulate polls and stuff like this, or where they set up bots to influence public opinion. So all these kind of the Russians are doing something is a little bit...
they help with bots. Yeah.
I mean, both are doing the same thing, and there are slides from Snowden about this.
So they create bubbles, and they move these bubbles around in the way that it's politically fine.
Yeah, but... Of course, the one thing helps the other thing, yeah.
So that's the end of democracy.
Yes, of course. So we need to stop this kind of stuff.
The public doesn't understand that this is happening. And
not really, no. I mean, we had a public debate in Switzerland with a popular votation, and they just didn't understand what's going on. That was my impression, yeah.
Mass surveillance is necessary for mass manipulation.
Yes.
That's my statement.
Yes. I would also sign up to that.
Yeah, please step to the mic up there in the front. Thanks.
Hi. I was a little unclear on the search terms to categorize something as either left-wing or right-wing. It said it was automatically generated.
Yes.
But were they then confirmed by anyone, like by you, that this is actually looks like something that would be left wing, or this looks like something that would be right wing? So that would imply some of your bias, but also that it needs to take more human hands into it. It can't be that.
No, I didn't change anything. So it was pure mathematics or computational linguistics, which is somehow more and more getting like mathematics, because I said it in the beginning, the rule-based approaches are getting less funded, and they are very complicated to construct, to model. So everything is going towards statistics, and also here I just applied statistical methods. So it was, I didn't remove any selectors, so I just take them as they were. But of course, in reality, perhaps they would remove some of them. It may be, I don't know.
So the human selection that was then done was that you pointed out which website you were doing. And
this was the evaluation. I then just used, you can just imagine, I just took the terms, put them on start page, on DuckDuckGo, wrote down the five hits.
No, I mean the step before that, when you're picking out how to get these keywords and key terms automatically, what you fed it was the websites. So that is then the human selection.
Yes, I just used the websites as training material. So I did pre-processing there. I just tokenized everything, removed stop words. And then I used Apache Tika to also extract text from PDFs and stuff like this. And then I had raw text, which I could use to generate selectors out of this.
What I mean is that also means that these websites, people who publish the stuff there will... They will indirectly affect how well people will be able to find them automatically.
Yeah, that was just an assumption.
Yes.
But that's the problem here. It's not clear if it fits together in the end. I mean, in the end, the false positive rates are not that good. I mean, the bigger the corpus gets, the more false hits you have in general.
Good. Thanks a lot. I think that was the time we had to spend. Thank you very much, Hernani Marquez, for the great speech.